Okay, let's begin. Let's go to Job 28. Job 28. Last week we looked at Psalm 128. And we looked at, blessed is the man that fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Job 28. It's a wonderful chapter. We're not going to read this chapter, but I'll just give you the quick overview of what Job is talking about. Job had such wisdom. I love it. You read the book of Job. It's the first book ever written in the history of the world, the book of Job. It's the oldest book ever written. And if you were someone who was raised with this evolution concept that, you know, modern man is wiser and stuff, just read Job. It'll put you in your place. You realize the stuff these men understood and knew that, no, we're not evolving. Technology might be advancing, but we're going downhill as time goes on. And what Job's basically saying is he's going, look, if you want to find silver, there's a place you can dig in the earth and find it. If you're looking for gold, there's a place where you can find it. These things are hidden in the earth. You can find it. You can search for it. But verse 12, he says, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? He's going, if I want to find wisdom and I find understanding, I can dig in the earth. I can dive in the sea. I can create airplanes and fly in the air, or rocket ships and shoot in outer space, and I can land on Mars, and I can do whatever, whatever. How do I find wisdom? Understand, where is it? And he just talks about man has no idea where to find it. He goes through the whole thing, and he's saying, look, you can look, and you can do this, and you can search, and this and that, but you can't pay for it. You can't buy it. You can't find it. You can't dig for it. Where is wisdom? Where is understanding? And then he begins to realize, or well, he knew this, but he begins to unveil, verse 23, that God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. And then it talks about God's works, and then in verse 28, he finally realizes it. And unto man, he said, this is God, this is what God said to man. He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. When you go to Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon by the Holy Ghost says, the fear of the Lord is the what?
Beginning.
The beginning. It's the beginning. It's the starting line of knowledge. In chapter 9, he's going to say the same thing about wisdom. In chapter 9, he says in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Starting line. There are many people running the race of life. They are part of the human race, and they're running a race, and they're going after all kinds of things, and they're doing things and accomplishing things, and they seem to be something. But the race they're running is a disqualified race. And at the end of their life, they're going to think, I finished the race, I did it. And they're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me, I never knew you. He's going to cast them into outer darkness. Why? Because they're running a race that they never registered for. They never signed up for. They didn't start at the right starting place. They didn't have the right beginning. Listen, man has all kinds of things he's invented and all kinds of amazing things and all kinds of systems and all kinds of types of governments that he thinks are incredible and wise. But God says, you want wisdom? The fear of the Lord, that's where it is. You want understanding? Depart from evil, that's understanding. Until those things happen in our hearts and in our lives, we haven't even begun. It's the beginning. Last year, the Lord very strongly confirmed this to me. two things. First thing, the revival that's going to happen in these last days is going to be a revival that's going to come out of the fear of the Lord. Any revivals that happen not out of the fear of the Lord, revivals that happen out of emotionalism, revivals that happen out of healing hype, that revivals that happen out of let's just show people kindness, those kind, it's not going to last. Those are just going to fizzle and fade away. Many movements in America, many mega modern churches, and they've got all these exciting movements. They'll all come to nothing. You watch. They will come and they will pass like a wind. But revival that will last, that will transform sinners into children of God, that will take people out of darkness and put them into light, where you will see transformed lives and transformed families and transformed generations that come, is going to come out of the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the beginning. Many people think they're wise, but if they don't have the fear of the Lord, they have no wisdom, according to God. Zero. It's the beginning. Second thing he showed me personally was just, he had to really convince me of this in my heart, that I want nothing to do with anybody who doesn't fear the Lord. I want nothing to do with them. Now that doesn't mean I won't reach out to them. It doesn't mean I won't minister. It doesn't mean I won't bring the gospel to them. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about in terms of walking a path of life with somebody, allowing someone to be my friend and being, you know, walking in friendship and in partnership or in ministry. If they don't fear God, I have no time for them. I'm not interested. It's very important. He clarified this thing in my heart, and that's where I'm at. If someone doesn't fear God, you can go do your fun ministry, go have a blast, go do Nightclub Jesus. I'm gonna walk in the fear of the Lord. You can do Nightclub Jesus, go for it. In the end, you'll find out he's not partying with you. You'll see. The fear of the Lord. This is wisdom. Okay. Let's just look at some verses in Proverbs. We're going to be studying Proverbs on Wednesday night. There's so much in Proverbs about the fear of the Lord. Wonderful things. Wonderful things. Let's just look at some of these real quick. Chapter 14. Verse 27. So today, I'm not going to explain the fear of the Lord today. That'll probably be next week. So Steve's a week ahead of us. But what I want to do is I want to just, let's look at some scriptures, and I want you to realize how important this thing is to God, what he says about it. 14 verse 27. Someone read that for us.
The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death.
Amen. Look at that verse. The fear of the Lord is what? A fountain of life. Remember when Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Can you drink from Jesus but not drink from the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And guess what? It allows you to depart from the snares of death. Death has snares that will trap you, catch you, suck you in, pull you in. You're in too deep, you can't get out. The fear of the Lord allows you to get out of this stuff. Chapter 16, verse 6. Chapter 16, verse 6. Someone read that.
By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
Amen. Amen. When I was 18 years old, I was sitting at the kitchen table with my parents. We were eating dinner. And somehow the topic of the fear of the Lord came up. And I said, I don't fear God. And I didn't. I was honest. I don't fear God. My mom was appalled. She was like, what? How could you not fear God? My dad's like, no, I understand why he doesn't fear God. I understand. And my dad, you know, he understood why I didn't. It doesn't say he was consenting to it. It doesn't say he was in agreement with it, but he understood. But my mom just couldn't, you don't fear. No, I don't fear God. I didn't. Of course I didn't fear God. I won't confess all the things I was doing at that time, but my life was proof. I didn't fear God. Well, over the next 8 years, I think God brought the fear of the Lord to me. And through that 8 years, a lot changed. When I didn't fear God, I didn't depart from evil. I was very comfortable with evil. That's a good measurement for yourself. How much do I fear God? Well, how comfortable are you with evil? How comfortable are you with sin? How comfortable are you with darkness? If you're comfortable with it, then you probably don't have much fear of God. Because by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Chapter 15. Just go back one chapter. Verse 33. It's right there. 15, verse 33. Someone read that.
The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility.
Amen. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So who's going to teach me wisdom? The fear of the Lord is going to teach me wisdom. So if I want godly wisdom, I want godly... By the way, you can't be blessed by God without wisdom from God. It's not really possible. So if I want blessing of God, if I want life from God, I need wisdom from God. But how am I going to be taught wisdom? The fear of the Lord is going to teach me. But how am I going to be willing to even be taught? Well, before I can have that honor of promotion, because wisdom will promote you. God's wisdom will promote you. But before I can be promoted by God's wisdom, I first need to be taught. And in order to be taught, before honor is humility. Humility, fear of the Lord, they're going to go hand in hand. Look at chapter 19. It's a good verse. Chapter 19, verse 23. Philly, if you could read that for us.
The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil.
Amen. That's good. So you want life? What do you need? The fear of the Lord. You want to be satisfied? You want a life of satisfaction? I think most people are seeking lives of satisfaction. They're seeking lives of fulfillment. But without the fear of the Lord, you're never going to find it. Never. But through the fear of the Lord, you will abide satisfied. Amen? I like that. That's some good rhyming English right there. You'll abide satisfied. Yes?
Just now you were saying in the conversation that thus says the Lord. So can we quote this to say that, you know, with having the fear of the Lord, thus says the Lord, he shall not be visited with evil. Thus. Will not be visited with evil, because the Lord said.
Amen.
I mean, we can quote this and say, you've got the fear of the Lord, you won't have evil
coming
to visit
you. Amen. Yeah. let's look at that. No, you're right. This is the thing about the Word, and this is what we established a couple weeks ago. Every promise is yes and amen. So let's lay hold of these promises. Let's believe it. He shall not be visited with evil. Look it up. The next verse is going to go right along with what you're saying. Chapter 28, verse. Actually, no, not that. It'll be the next verse. But let's just go to this one first, and then we'll get to the next one. 28, verse 14. The following verse is the one that's going to have what you're looking for.
Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.
Amen. So, what do you get from fearing the Lord there?
Happiness.
So people are seeking happiness. Guess what? Before I feared God, I had no happiness. Temporary pleasure, yes. Temporary thrills, yes. Temporary fun times, yes. But happiness, no. Fulfillment, no. Satisfaction, no. At the end of every night, emptiness, loneliness, didn't fit in, yes. Before I feared God. I fear God. Guess what? I'm happy. That's my wife. She lives with me. Sometimes I'm too happy. Sometimes I need to be more, you know, I need to be a little bit more clued in on what's going on. Listen, you fear God, you'll be happy. This is truth. You can bank on this. Now, according to that verse in verse 14, what is the opposite of fearing God? It's true, but according to what he says there, what he actually says, hardening your heart is the opposite of fearing God. So fearing God is something of remaining in a position of a soft heart, a tender heart, humility. Those things are all in sync with fear of the Lord. But when you harden your heart, that's the opposite, and then you'll fall into mischief. And we know, I think we've all done it. It's no good. Chapter 14, verse 26. So this week, I don't want to explain the fear of the Lord. We'll get there. But right now, I just want to show you just how vital it is and why we need it. 14:26. This is wonderful.
The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of
refuge. Amen. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So again, this is just something that's interesting. When we think of fear, we don't think of confidence. It's usually the opposite, right? If you have fear, you're not confident. But this is a different kind of fear. We'll get into this more next week. But again, I want you to just consider this thought. The fear of who? The Lord. Does that mean that I fear the Lord? Well, yes. And again, we're going to clarify it more specifically. But I want you to think about this. It's called the fear of the Lord. The wisdom of the Lord comes from who?
From the fear of him.
Well, let's keep it simple. You're right, but let's keep it really simple. The wisdom of the Lord comes from who?
The Lord.
The Lord. The understanding of the Lord comes from? The Spirit of the Lord comes from? The Lord. So the fear of the Lord comes from? The Lord. You say, what's the point? The point is, there's lots of different kinds of fears. There's fear that comes from people. There's fear that comes from uncertainty. There's fear that comes from certain information that we don't know how to handle, like death. One day we're going to die, you know? And the scripture talks about the fear of death, how Satan used that to manipulate people and hold them in bondage. You see the whole COVID thing and all the masks and all this junk. It's because people are afraid of death. That's why they're able to be manipulated into this stuff. Now look, we're not trying to be lawless. We don't want to be lawless. They pass an ordinance. We're going to abide by the ordinance. We're not lawless, but reality, the reason why the world operates is because they are held by the fear of death. That is not the fear from God. That is fear from their own hearts. That's fear from the devil. That's fear from people. The scripture talks about the fear of man brings a snare. But there's a healthy fear. There's a good fear. There's a holy fear. And it comes from God himself. It's the fear of the Lord. It's the fear that he gives. And this fear is not a fear that grips you in bondage and you don't know what to do. This is a fear that will lead you to wisdom, will lead you to life, will lead you to happiness, will lead you to satisfaction, will lead you to strong confidence. And not only strong confidence for you as a man, for you as a woman, but guess what? Your children will have a place of refuge in the fear of the Lord. This is what Steve was picked up on the other verse. You won't be visited with evil. Doesn't mean you'll never go to evil. Doesn't mean you'll never have to go through evil. But you will have a place that's a refuge. And evil can't come in. Evil can't penetrate. And it'll not only just be for you, but if we really walk in this fear of the Lord, if we receive this fear of the Lord, this will be over our household. Our families will be protected, will be safe. Our church will be protected, will be safe. And evil won't be able to penetrate in. Can't visit us. Might come try to knock, but it won't get in.
I just want to receive that, Adam. It's excellent news.
Amen. Amen.
Good news.
Hallelujah. Yeah, this is good news. The fear of the Lord is wonderful. It's wonderful. Go to Psalm 25. Let's look a little bit more how wonderful the fear of the Lord is. Verse 4, David says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths." Verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth. Teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." So remember, last week, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." And David's saying, "Please teach me, show me, teach me, show me."
You're going to ask for
it. What?
You're going to ask for
it. Absolutely, brother. Ask for it. This is where prayer comes in. Prayer is when you genuinely from your heart, just open up your heart to God, start asking for the things you need, start opening your heart with the things you struggle with, asking for help to overcome them. Watch this, verse 12. "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." Hallelujah. Come on now. This is the fear of the Lord. This is wonderful. You want to learn the way of God. You want to learn his ways and walk in his ways and show me your truth. Well, guess what? He's going to bring you to the starting point. He's going to bring you to the beginning, which is the fear of the Lord. And once you enter that race the right way, not come up some other way. Jesus talked that the thief climbs up another way. He's a thief and a robber. You want to come in? You got to come in through the door. The sheep go in through the door. The good shepherd comes through the door. The porter opens. Well, you know what the door is into the path of righteousness, into the path of knowing God and loving God and being blessed by God? It's the fear of the Lord. This is the beginning.
I was thinking that John was talking about the secret. Yes, there are your
secrets. Yes, yes. And look at, man, not only will your soul dwell at ease, not only will your seed inherit the earth. Again, when we think fear, we don't think dwelling at ease. Because all we've known, before we know the fear of the Lord, all we've known is fear from the devil. Fear from our own hearts. Fear from people. Fear from circumstances and uncertainty. That's the only kind of fear we know. So we associate fear as some bad thing, something that, no, this thing will bring you to ease and happiness and satisfaction and strong confidence. And not only that, guess what? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The only way you'll ever truly be able to know Jesus Christ and the new covenant. Not just, you know, listen to somebody talk about it and then be able to repeat it like a parrot. You know, anybody can learn to do that. We're talking about to really know him, love him, know his covenant in your heart, fear the Lord. He only gives his secret and he only reveals his covenant to those who fear him. Look at Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. It's a wonderful passage. We won't read the whole thing, but verse 5, he says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness." Hallelujah. Imagine what South Africa would be like if it was filled with judgment and righteousness instead of corruption and let's put off the court case another month and let's put off the court case and let's put everything off another month and let's just let wicked people roam free. What if it was filled with judgment and righteousness, right? That's what Zion's going to be. And verse 6, watch this. And wisdom, and actually let me give you real quick context. God's getting ready to bring some judgment on his nation. He's getting ready to really like, there's times when God moves and he brings judgment against the wicked. And at this point, he was getting ready to do it. But what he's trying to give assurance to Isaiah and to those who have feared the Lord and have tried to stay true to God. And here's the assurance he's saying, verse 6, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. And strength of salvation." So he's saying, when times get rough, don't worry, you'll be stable because my wisdom's with you. My knowledge is with you. My salvation is strong and it's with you. And watch this, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Now that's the key to all those things he just said. How do I get wisdom? How do I get knowledge? How do I have strength of salvation? The fear of the Lord. That's the treasure. That's the treasure that's deep in the heart. That's going to keep you stable when everything else is being shaken. Yeah. Or if you do the Italian pronunciation, Malachi. Malachi.
Afrikaans and sometimes you English, I also Malachi.
Malachi. Malachi. We're going to look at chapter 3 and 4, but real quick, hold your place there and just run back to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. This is wonderful. Someone read verses 1 and 2 for us.
Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house that you could build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For my hand made all those things. Thus all those things have come to be, says the Lord. But to this man I will look, even to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word.
Amen. What a declaration. People would look at the temple, look at this beauty, look at the beautiful house of God we've built. Look at this and look at that. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. I just set my foot on the earth. Where's the house you're going to build for me? Where's the place of my rest? We're going to build the kingdom of God. No, you're not. Don't be deceived. I know people mean well by when they say that, but that's error. You don't build the kingdom of God. God builds his kingdom. He's built his kingdom. We are calling people out of the world into the kingdom of God. They get to inherit it. They get to enter it. But you ain't building this kingdom. This is his kingdom. He's built it. Heaven's my throne. The earth is my footstool. What are you going to build for me? I made all these things. All these things are of me. Amen. But guess what? There is a place where he will dwell. There is a place where he will find rest in the earth. Where is that? Look at the end of verse 2. But to this man will I look. Or to this woman will I look. Even to him that is poor, that's humility, and of a contrite spirit. Contrite means I don't want to continue in pride and sin. Contrite is, oh, I'm sorry, God, please help me change. I want to turn. I want to, that's contrition. And trembles at my word. That's called the fear of the Lord. He goes, that's where I'll dwell. That's where I'll find rest. And then he talks about a bunch of people in 3 and 4 who didn't fear the Lord. They didn't tremble at his word. They took God's word lightly. And, They, you know, we got lives. We got kingdoms to build. We got businesses to do. We got churches to build. We're doing our thing. We know a prophet. You say whatever. And they took him lightly. But watch this. Look at what God says, verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake. And they said, let the Lord be glorified. Right? Again, there's a lot of Christian brethren who, if you fear the Lord and you tremble at his word and you take God seriously, and you don't take him lightly and you don't think it's a playboy Christianity. You don't think this is a fun time Christian. This isn't a Jesus nightclub. This thing is serious. When you speak the truth, they're going to hate you. When you speak with soberness, they're going to despise you because it exposes their frivolity and their lightness and their playboy spirit. And you know what? He says, those of you who trembled at my word and they cast you out and they said, oh, glorify God, we love God, we worship God, but they cast you out. Guess what? End of the verse. He shall appear to your joy and they shall be ashamed. The day will come when he'll show up. And guess who will be glad for his coming? Those who feared God and trembled at his word. And it'll be a day of joy. But those who just thought, hey, we're just going to kind of use God and we're just going to do our own thing, they'll be ashamed. Look at Malachi 3 and 4. Malachi 3, verse 13. God is rebuking Judah. Again, this is after they've rebuilt the temple, after they've been regathered, but this is only maybe about 80 years later, and they're already like really have backslidden seriously. And he says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, you've said, it's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that work wickedness are set up, yea, that tempt God are even delivered." Point is, at that point, people were going, serving God is too intense, it's too serious, you know, you got to weep and you got to pray, and you know what, these guys are happy over here, they're having a good time, they're eating, they're drinking, they're doing what they want, let's just do what they do, you know? But watch what the Lord did, verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened," he listened. Guess what? God's listening right now as we're speaking one to another. He's listening, and he heard it. "And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." So as evil spreads, as evil multiplies, as people are departing more and more from true Christianity, from truly walking with the Lord in humility and in the fear of the Lord, as people are just going around playing games, having fun, building mega churches, making money, making all about tithe and whatever, and living in sin, it's fine because God loves us. As they do that, the ones who fear him, and we encourage each other, and God's writing a book of remembrance for us. There's a book of remembrance that he's writing for those who fear him and think upon his name. And look at what he says in verse 17. "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." What a promise. He goes, "You'll be mine. The ones who fear the Lord, they'll be mine. I'll spare them." Look at chapter 4. "Why? For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud," people who, they don't take God that seriously. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, they're more important than God in their own eyes. "Yea, and all that do wickedly, they shall be stubble." You guys know what stubble is, right? Stubble.
Forming the fires.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's left, like that little bit of like what's left after it's burnt or something, like a crop is burned. Stubble, it'll be like stubble. There's like nothing left, just a little burnt crisp. "And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." It's just going to burn them up so that he's going to burn them so deep that there's going to be nothing left. Verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." And then he goes more, it's good, but those who fear his name, when Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, arises with healing in his wings, he's going to come for your joy. And you're going to be blessed, and you're going to enter rest. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just read the last section. Matthew 25. The Lord just put in my heart to just read through this. Fear of the Lord, the beginning. Okay, this is one of the last things Jesus taught, or preached, I should say, rather. One of the last things he preached outdoors before, they went into the upper room, which was going to be a couple days later. This is one of the last things he preached. And he's speaking to his disciples. And he's going to speak three parables, and then also reveal some truth about the end time. It's a good chapter. So I thought, the Lord just put in my heart to just close with this. We're just going to read it and just see what Jesus says about his return and when he shows up. Okay. Let's get three people to read. Who wants to volunteer? Three readers. Philly, Bruno, Diavolt. Okay. So start with Bruno. You'll read verses 1 through 13. Philly, verses 14 through 30. And then Diavolt will finish verses 31 through 46.
Matthew 25, right?
Yeah, Matthew 25.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him, to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling unto a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods.
And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay. Then the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked or clothed thee, or saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall ye say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for your fear. Father, we just pray for the fear of the Lord. Lord, to just dwell in our hearts, to be part of us. Father, for your fear to just grip us, to hold us, to guide us, to lead us the path of wisdom and instruction, and humility and honor, the strong confidence and happiness, boldness in the day of judgment. Father, let us be like the five wise virgins, that we would be pure, that we would be spiritually pure, not defiled, and that we would be wise because of the fear of the Lord. We would have made preparation for what's coming ahead. Father, we'd be like those two wise servants who took what you gave us, whether it was much or little, but took it and did something with it, went out and made profit with it. Father, please, let us be like those two. Let us not be the other one who sat there and did nothing and made excuses, Lord. And Father, please, let us have the hearts of compassion towards your brothers, towards your people. Those who are yours, but they're naked and they're scattered and they're wounded and they're hurting and they're in prison, God, please send us to them. Let us have mercy. Let us have mercy. Let us minister to them. Let us bind them up. Let us feed them. Lord, thank you. Please, God, I pray that it would just become so clear to us that you are Lord, that you are King, that this earth is yours, and that you are coming back to take it over, and that you're the rightful owner. Father, let that just be a reality we live with all the time. All the time. This has just become reality. This has just become who we are, what we believe, and how we live. That there won't be this was Sunday church time, and then this is, no, Lord. We'll just always know who you are and walk in it. Help us, Lord. Bless your people. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.